In 2008, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie won one of the 25 coveted MacArthur Genius Grants. Her second novel, called Half of a Yellow Sun, won the 2007 Orange Prize for Fiction. It's the story of two sisters who drift apart in 1960s Nigeria during a period of civil violence centered around the creation of the new nation, Biafra. Here's Adichie with a reading about a houseboy named Ugwu.
Master was a little crazy. He had spent too many years reading books overseas, talked to himself in his office, did not always return greetings, and had too much hair. Ugwu's auntie said this in a low voice as they walked on the path. "But he's a good man," she added, "and as long as you walk well, you'll eat well. You will even eat meat every day." She stopped to spit. The saliva left her mouth with a sucking sound and landed on the grass. Ugwu did not believe that anybody, not even this master he was going to live with, ate meat every day. He did not disagree with his auntie, though, because he was too choked with expectation, too busy imagining his new life away from the village. "I told master you will learn everything fast. Osiso, osiso," his auntie said. Ugwu nodded attentively, although she had already told him this many times, as often as she told him the story of how his good fortune came about. While she was sweeping the corridor in the mathematics department a week ago, she heard Master say that he needed a houseboy to do his cleaning, and she immediately said she could help, speaking before his typist or his office messenger could offer to bring someone. "I will learn fast, Auntie," Ugwu said.
Tell us something about when this novel takes place.
The book starts actually in the early 60s, before the Civil War, and so it was shortly after independence in Nigeria, and in many ways a period of much optimism when people felt that Africa was on its way to becoming a great world power. And it's interesting, there were actually a lot of Americans at the university town of Soka, where the book is set, because a lot of them were in the Peace Corps and were teaching there. And also the university had some sort of affiliation with Michigan State. And so there were people who had come from Michigan State and spent time there teaching. But we slowly sort of watch things change as the years pass. And it turns out that, you know, the optimism was
misplaced.
Yes.
Yeah. This is, I get the feeling, a very personal story for you, although clearly before your time.
I was born 7 years after the war ended. The war started in 1967 and ended in 1970. And so I didn't experience it personally, but my family did. And in some ways, I've always felt that it's also my story, that it's my history, that I inherited what happened to my family. Both my grandfathers died in the war. My relatives also died. My parents lost everything they owned. And so in many ways, this book is a collection of stories from people who actually experienced these things, just sort of fictionalized things a bit, but it's mostly my way of paying tribute to that time and my way of refusing to forget.
For the thousands who have forgotten what happened in Nigeria in the 1960s, what are the bare facts?
The bare facts, in 1966, it's so difficult to make it short, and I will. Biafra was the part in eastern Nigeria where the Igbo people live. The Igbo people, however, are people who sort of spread out across Nigeria. And in the north, there was a massacre of Igbo people for political reasons, and they then decided to secede and form their own country and call it Biafra. And the rest of Nigeria said, "No, we won't let you secede." And I think the primary reason was because the oil, which had only recently been discovered in Nigeria, happened to be within the borders of this state that wanted to become independent. And so the war started, one side fighting to be independent, the other side fighting to keep them in Nigeria. And in 1970, it ended with Biafra losing and going back to being part of Nigeria. And I think the image that most people have of Biafra is that of the starving children, because that's the image that was broadcast all over the world, and people were asked to save Biafra and donate money because children were dying.
As you say, it is almost impossible to simplify the story, which is why Half of a Yellow Sun is such an important retelling of it. It's the people who make those stories. There was the whole issue of colonialism, which was not that far in the past at the beginning of this story or at the beginning of the Civil War.
Oh, absolutely. Nigeria had only been independent since 1960. The war started 6 years later. And I mean, clearly, I think it's impossible to talk about that period of our history or even to talk about now, present day Nigeria, without engaging with the legacy of colonialism. Mm. The fact that the country itself was created by the British. People were lumped together and told that you're now one country, now live with it.
Being defined by the outside doesn't make it any easier for people to believe it, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think in some ways that for one to believe in a nation, I think people have to collectively imagine that nation into being. And when you haven't been given the chance to, it would cause problems anyway.
What caused it to fail? Was it simply that the rest of Nigeria didn't want it?
I think that it was many things. I think that the fact that Nigeria had a lot of international support, that Britain supported Nigeria, and also that the US supported Nigeria in the sort of in the way that it did nothing about Biafra, and in the way that it said, you know, it's under British sphere of control, so we'll just go along with the British. And so I think international support, that lots of countries just refused to recognize Biafra. I also think that internally Biafra had problems, that there were trust issues between the head of Biafra and other people. So I think it's complex. But I sometimes wonder whether if Nigeria hadn't had the kind of support it had. I mean, Biafra didn't have any, had very little arms. And so you had people fighting with knives, fighting the other side that had machine guns. And so, you know, it's, but of course, it's always very easy in retrospect to sort of say, well, this is why it didn't happen. I don't know. I guess, who knows?
You talk about this being part of a movement to get this time talked about again. Is that what has happened within your family? Do you hear more now? Do you get more stories because of the stories you've told?
Yes, absolutely, yes. I mean, I started when I was working on this book, and I've been working on it for, oh, good God, I don't know, since I was 10. I've been thinking about this book. And I constantly ask questions of my parents, my relatives. But now that this book has come out and that it's been read in Nigeria, I find that people volunteer stories much more easily now.
What kind of stories do they tell you now?
Little stories, the kinds that I love the most. My aunt, for example, telling me what she would do to the dried egg yolk she got from the Red Cross to make it last longer. Apparently, she would sort of mix it with water and with some palm oil and then put, you know, things of that sort. And also, in some ways, strange contemporary stories. Another aunt, who is a farmer in my ancestral hometown, said that she dug up bullets recently in her farm. So the bullets from the war, and she was sort of tilling the soil and she dug them up. And, you know, for me, that was, I was thinking this is a metaphor and it must be significant. I'm not sure. I mean, sort of all the layers of meaning to this.
How much do you think what happened in the 1960s defines what Nigeria is today?
You know, that period, I mean, I didn't learn anything about this war when I was in school in Nigeria. So it's a part of our history that we don't talk about, much as many countries don't talk about, you know, histories that they're ashamed of. And I think because of that, there's so much that's unresolved. And I think there's a lot of resentment still in eastern Nigeria among people who feel that they were cheated, the war ended, and somehow we're all supposed to pretend that nothing happened. While jobs were lost, property was taken over by the government, and there's just so much that still hasn't been talked about. So I think it's still important today, and I'm hoping that this book actually would get us talking about it. And I think it is happening, particularly for Nigerians in my generation, that now we're starting to ask questions about, you know, about a recent history.
That's Nigerian novelist Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Her most noted novel is called Half of a Yellow Sun.